So when we read through the scriptures, there are really two key questions that Jesus puts to us. First question is a very simple one, which we see actually in the first chapter of John's gospel. It's actually the first thing he says in that gospel. Scenario is that Jesus is walking along one day and two of the disciples of John the Baptist are walking behind him, a bit curious about who this man is. And Jesus turns around, looks him square in the eye and says, "What are you looking for? What do you want?" That's the key question. What do you want? Yes, sure, you're walking after me. Yes, you're following me. Yes, you're coming to church. But what do you want? That's the primary question. Now, assuming that we answer that correctly, he then comes to the next question, which is, how much do you want it? Do you want it enough to fight for it? Do you want it enough to pray and persevere for it? And that's really where we come to tonight, in tonight's gospel. What do you actually want? What is it that your heart is craving for? Yeah, yes, there are so many desires. You know, right now you could be thinking of all sorts of things, a nice holiday, a good night's sleep, nice bit of dinner after this, or whatever it is. What are you really yearning for? What is the deepest thing, the thing you're absolutely passionate about? And where does God come into that? You know, is it healing? Is it some sort of transformation in your life? Is it some sort of breakthrough, some sort of blockages that keep getting you down? Is it something in your family, some relationship you just need God to intervene in? What do you want? And then that key question, how much do you actually want this? Now, it's interesting, you see this throughout so many of the stories. Jesus never really explicitly asked it in that way, but it comes through again and again. You know, you see it in tonight's story where Jesus is saying, persevere in your prayer. And this is the constant way he teaches us to pray. He says, if you want something, show God how much you want it. You know, we have this story of this man banging on his neighbor's door saying, give me bread. I'm not going to let you sleep. I'm going to wake up your whole family until you give me what I want. Because I'm proving to you how much I need it. You have the same story in Luke chapter 18. The story of the unjust judge and the widow. And the widow wants justice. So she goes every day and slams on the judge's door saying, give me justice. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to let you do any other work until you answer my plea. And Jesus says, that's how you're meant to pray. Basically what he's saying is, I want you to show me how much you want it. Because the whole point is that the gift is given. There's no question about the grace of God. It's not as though we're trying to sort of twist his arm and wake him up and say, come on, help me out here. Jesus says very clearly, the gift is already there. Once again, we hear tonight. You know, what father would give you a stone when you ask for bread? You know, God's not going to play tricks on you. God's not trying to hide the good things from us. The Holy Spirit is given. The grace of God is poured out. What Jesus is trying to alert us to, he's trying to wake us up to the fact, it's on our side. Do I want this enough to take hold of it? Do I want this grace enough to actually devote everything towards it? He's trying to show us that the gift he's giving us is so precious. He's not going to just dish this out to anyone, you know, just as a bit of novelty. You know, the more precious the gift you give to someone, the more you want to know that they're going to use it well. You know, there's nothing stopping you giving it, but you want to know that it's actually going to land in safe hands. The person's actually going to appreciate it and use it, not just say, oh, thanks, and then throw it in the cupboard. Jesus says, I will give you the Holy Spirit. I will give it in abundance. But do you actually want it? Do you actually want it enough to pursue it? to desire the gift, to every day reach out and say, God, give me this because I need it. Now, that's a hard question. You know, because we live in a world which we've been trained in instant gratification and also trained to have a very short attention span. Yes, I've got a need. Give it to me now. You don't want to give it to me now? Okay, I'll go find something else. Oh, look, there's something else to entertain me. You know, even in really important things, it seems that as a culture, as a society in Australia, we've lost all resilience. We've lost all ability to actually fight for anything important. You know, and sadly, you even see this in marriage. Marriage gets difficult. Oh, well, just move on. Because it's too hard. We're not prepared to fight for what's important. It's almost like we've lost our passion, our desire to try and fight for something that's actually valuable. Jesus is saying, I want people of passion. He doesn't want passive Christians who are just going to sit back and say, okay, God, give it to me when you're ready. There is nowhere in the scripture Jesus says that is how you should pray. If you can find something for me, please tell me, because it would make my prayer a whole lot easier. He says you have to pray by being passionate, by wanting it, and by going to God every day saying, give me the Holy Spirit. Give me the transformation I need. Now, there's a great line I always love where Jesus talks about John the Baptist. And he says, since the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and it is the violent who take it by storm. Now, he's not talking about St. Peter at the pearly gates being mugged by young guys with knives. He's talking about the fact that people are desperately wanting this, and they're not going to let God rest. You know, it's not like this angry violence. It's like this passionate violence. It's like, give me sanctity. Give me holiness. Give me healing. Give me the transformation I need in my life, in my relationships, in my family. Because this is what you promised, and I'm not going to let you rest until you give it to me. Do you have that passion in you? You know, when it comes to your faith, when it comes to the things that really matter, the things that we need God's help for, do you have that much passion? Or do you feel just defeated? You know, when it comes to the battle with temptation, does something in you rise up and say, I'm going to fight this. I'm going to call upon God for the grace I need. Or do you just roll over and give in? Most people I talk to just roll over, particularly young men. I'm saying this to you guys at the back there. For all the bluff that young men do about being strong and confident, when it comes to hardship, they just roll over. It's too hard. Yeah, prayer is too hard. I tried praying, nothing happened. I went and watched TV instead. Do you know what you want? Now, because the sad reality is, when it comes to things that are trivial, we're prepared to sacrifice everything. And it's a sad irony of life. You know, and I look at my life and I see this so much, and my life stands as a witness against me when it comes to this stuff. You know, a story which I always tell the novices, they're always sick of me telling this story. You know, my great love of life was cycling. I was a road cyclist. And I used to engage in this particularly kind of sadistic form of training. Basically, like strength training, where you'd find the biggest hill you could and you'd ride up it in the biggest gear you've got while sitting down and basically putting yourself through torture, trying to ride as hard as you could up this hill. There was this particular hill in Perth I used to always train on. And this one afternoon, I think it was the sixth time I'd gone up there in this one session, and about three quarters of the way up the hill, my right calf muscle just cramped up completely, just completely locked. Now, my feet were locked into the pedals. The only real option I had was just to fall over onto the road. Couldn't go anywhere. But I had basically made a personal vow that I would never stop on a hill. You know, I would never let a hill defeat me. I knew what I wanted. And so there was no option. I just turned the pedal once more, ripped my calf muscle, unclipped my foot, and kept riding up one-legged. Then rode home with one leg. stupid, absolutely stupid. I couldn't walk for a week. But I knew what I wanted, and I knew how much I wanted it. Now, it was pride. It was vainglory. It was vanity. I was prepared to sacrifice so much for something so trivial. And forevermore, that stands as a witness against me. You know, whenever I find myself in hardship in my faith, finding prayer difficult, you know, struggling against temptation, how much do I want it? Am I prepared to persevere? Am I prepared to keep praying, calling upon God, saying, God, I need this grace. I'm going to keep coming back tomorrow and tomorrow until you give me the transformation I need. If you want to see your life changed, you have to have that passion in you. You can't be a passive Christian. You can't just be sitting back waiting for God to do it, because he won't. He wants you to go out and take hold of the grace. The gift of the Spirit is there. It's there in abundance if you are prepared to take hold of it. And so many of the saints say this. There's a beautiful line in one of the writings of John of the Cross where he's talking about, you know, that point, the highest point of prayer you can reach, where you're basically a saint on earth. And halfway through him explaining this, he stops and he says, now you do realize that everyone has access to this grace. It's not as though God's favoring some people and not others. The reason why people don't reach this place is because they're not prepared to put the work in. They don't want it enough to go through the hardships in prayer, to go through the hard times, the trials, to take hold of that grace. Basically, he's saying there is no reason for you not to become a saint. If you know what it is you want, and you want that with every ounce of passion in you. You know, so to persevere and allow the trivial things in your life to stand as a witness against you. You know, this last month, there's been so much sport on television. I've heard so many people talk about going for weeks without sleep, staying up to watch Wimbledon or watch, you know, the Ashes, the cricket. I've heard no one talk about going for weeks on end without sleep because they're praying for their family. You know, people staying up to do all-night prayer vigils because they want to discover their vocation. Let that be a witness against us. You know, we can stand back and blame God or blame everyone else, saying, I'm not seeing any transformation in my life, but I am seeing a lot of good sport. Understand, what do you want? What are you prepared to fight for? What is actually a priority? And then seek it out, you know, with everything in you. You know, ultimately, this is a personal decision. You know, we can't wait for other people to lead. That's the whole point. You know, we can't sit around hoping that the person next to us is going to suddenly get fired up and we can then get inspired by their example. Make a decision deep within you. I want to know Christ. I want the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want God to use me. I want God to work powerfully in me so that the church can come back to life. You know, set that as your priority. You know, so as we come here to the Eucharist, you know, we come here to encounter the heart of God, aflame with love for us. You know, hidden behind these ordinary symbols of bread and wine. But understand the passion that is in the heart of Christ. Understand the desire that he has to pour the Spirit into you, if only you would seek it. If only you would ask for it and desire it. So let's come here yearning. And I really challenge you, as we come into this time of the offertory and we prepare for the Eucharist, examine your heart. What do you actually want? How much do you want it? You know, even as we stand tonight and we sing all these songs about devoting our life to the Lord and giving our life to Him, how much do you want to give your life to Him?